The disgraced financier Jeffrey Epstein is dead.
Did he kill himself? Was he killed?
There was something happening here that was bigger than just Jeffrey Epstein.
It was reported at that time that you had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein.
Known as this Gatsby-like figure of mystery.
He was stunningly rich. He had a $20 million house, his own private island in the Caribbean.
It has a nickname, the Pedophile Island.
In 2005, the Palm Beach Police Department received reports of young women going to and from his residence.
There was an ever-revolving door of girls.
Who else was underage?
All of them. Those girls brought other girls, too.
It's a train, and it goes on and on and on.
You know, I had dinners with him.
This case would put him in prison the rest of his life.
Have you ever solicited a minor for prostitution?
I'm going to invoke my Fifth Amendment right.
Somehow, his lawyers had worked out a deal with the U.S. Attorney's Office.
It was more evidence of the fact he was powerful and he could fix whatever thing came up.
This case was one of the worst failures of the criminal justice system.
There was no way that anybody could look at this and think this was okay.
There are enough survivors that refuse to give up.
I want justice.
I regret doing that.
He's dead, but he did not act alone. None of them have been held accountable.
He had relationships with...
Start digging into his life, pulling out this spider web of people.
This is the tip of a much bigger iceberg.
Take him down. Take everybody down.
The monsters are still out there.
You took our freedom, now we're gonna take yours.
And, you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful. And, you know, I'm very proud of what we've done in philanthropy, very proud of the work of the foundation. You know, that's what I get up every day and focus on.
All right, James. So perhaps you've heard about these CBDCs, these central bank digital currencies. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. Let me pull this up real quick. MIT developed these things called the CBDCs. And if you do a search for MIT CBDCs, you can see that MIT developed the CBDCs. And you might think to yourself, what does that have to do with today's show? Well, then you type in MIT quantum dot, and you look up MIT's quantum dot, and you start to say, wow, MIT developed a technology that stores your medical and financial records under your skin. And you might think to yourself, what kind of a sick, twisted freak would fund that kind of thing? Well, then you type in MIT Epstein Gates and you start to discover that, look, what do you know? What do you know, folks? Jeffrey Epstein, the world's most prolific pedophile, is the one funding the MIT lab that's giving you the MIT CBDCs and the MIT quantum dot. And you start to think, well, Jeffrey Epstein, I know he's the world's most prolific pedophile, but why would he put a temple on his island? Is he a Baptist? No, he wasn't a Baptist. Jeffrey Epstein, the world's most prolific pedophile, put a temple on his island because he was a Luciferian and a not good guy. And so here to talk about it is Liz Crokin. Welcome on to the Thrive Time Show. How are you, Liz?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fired up to be here with you. To my right is James, and James talks to a lot of ticket buyers that want to come to the Reawaken America tour, and you're a fan favorite. People love learning from you, and so we're here to learn from you about all things Epstein and the latest information that you've learned about the Epstein, because all roads lead back to Epstein. Tell us what you know. What are some updates about Epstein?
Well, the most recent piece of information that came out is that JP Morgan actually alerted the government to about $1 billion in transactions, most likely related to human trafficking. But this did not happen until 2019 after he was arrested and then he didn't kill himself. So this just came out yesterday, and this information was revealed because of an ongoing court case that's going on between JP Morgan Chase and the Virgin Islands.
Now, I want to ask you this here. You've been saying this for a long time. You've been pointing these things out, and people have tried to discredit you for a long time. And so I know you've done such a great job of remaining emotionally stable as you've tried to explain these facts to people, and you get labeled as a conspiracy theorist. Why is it important that all of our listeners know this information? Like, why is it important for our listeners to know that Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself? And why is it important for us to know?
Well, it's important for people to know because, number one, if you care about children, then you should be concerned with anyone that's rape, torturing, and trafficking children. That's number one. But number two is that, more importantly, Jeffrey Epstein is tied to many powerful individuals, whether these are celebrities that people look up to, they worship, they listen to their music, they watch their movies, or if it's politicians, including presidents, Bill Clinton, or people who try to become president like Hillary Clinton, and, you know, the members of the royal family, like the list goes on, and not just people that with high profile names that you recognize, also people that are very powerful and wealthy individuals behind the scenes that have a lot of control, whether it's in big banks or, you know, with a major university and whatnot. And so these people are essentially some of the most powerful people in the world that are not just linked to Jeffrey Epstein. There's a lot of evidence that continues to come out almost every week that proves that a lot of the people in his circle were not just acquaintances of him. They were also involved in human trafficking, one way or the other, whether that is as a client, a co-conspirator, you know, or I believe that there are more people out there like Ghislaine Maxwell that were actually procuring women, girls, and children for Jeffrey Epstein that have not had their day in court, shall we say, yet. So that's why people should be concerned.
So fire off some of the names of people connected to Epstein that you have, your research has let you know 100% conclusively that these people chose to interact with Jeffrey Epstein often with. Like, who are some of the names that, you know, people would know that definitely were spending time with Epstein?
Well, I'd say that the people that were the closest to him out of all the names that I've looked over would be Bill and Hillary Clinton. And I say that because based off of all the evidence that I've gone over, they've been documented not just going to his island, Bill Clinton, more than 24 times. And these are just records that have been made open public information. So he's been documented going to Jeffrey Epstein's pedophile island over 24 times. He's been on multiple flights with Jeffrey Epstein. We also know that Ghislaine Maxwell was at Chelsea Clinton's wedding. We also know that Hillary Clinton has been to the island as well. We also know that the whole family, so this would be Bill, Hillary, and Chelsea, took regular trips to his other property in New Mexico. Like, the list goes on. And he was also a visitor, you know, in the White House when Bill Clinton was president. And so the relationship goes back decades. And out of every high profile name that I've looked over, I can find more examples of them being placed with him, associated with him. He was also bragged about being one of the co-founders of the Clinton Global Initiative. So, you know, it wasn't just personal. It was business. It was political. They would be at the top of my list, you know. But then there's other, you know, high-profile names. You have celebrities like Naomi Campbell, that pops up a lot and is placed, what, you know, either on the island or on his private jet. Kevin Spacey as well. Obviously, like Prince Andrew, we've been hearing about him for years. Those are some other people, but there's no one that I've been able to place more with Jeffrey Epstein than the Clintons. In terms of people, that's like a name that you know?
Yeah, no, this is, again, I come at this because, James, you're out there trying to expose the corruption. You this is why you work here. This is what you're into. And I think it's like you're always looking for the most effective way to wake up people. You know, that's what we're looking for, is what's the most effective way to wake people up. And I think one of the most effective ways to do it is to point out the worst things first. You know, you just start with the worst and you go, Why was the world's most prolific pedophile connected to the Clintons? Why was he connected to Kevin Spacey? Why is he funding MIT? What's that all about? Why is he connected to Bill Gates? And I'm putting news evidence that's from the mainstream that cites what you just said. You said earlier that, okay, we have proof now that J.P. Morgan allegedly notified the government of $1 billion in suspicious transactions by Epstein. Meanwhile, right. Obama is he spent $65,000 on pizza and hot dogs. Someone might say, man, he loves pizza. I mean, the guy's the president of the, of the United States. He's a big pizza fan. He loves hot dogs. Okay, great. I'd love to get your thoughts on why is this information now coming out, but then immediately gets labeled as a fact check misinformation. Why was it that Barack Obama was ordering hot dogs and pizza? And what do these words even mean, pizza and hot dog? What does that mean?
So what we know, going back to 2016, is that WikiLeaks released the Podesta emails, and in those emails, there was the word pizza and hot dogs and other code words that were not used in the context that applied to food in terms of pizza and hot dogs, for example. And there's other code words within those emails as well. And we saw this time and time and time again in the Podesta emails. And back then, pizza was a known pedophile code word. So when the Podesta emails came out, I dug into them immediately and started researching them. And I'm seeing the word pizza and hot dog and then other words using in a context that does not apply to food. So then I'm like, what's going on here? And I started researching pizza and learned quickly that pizza was a pedophile code word. And as I'm researching this, the information online proving that pizza was a pedophile code word that's used, whether it's on the dark web or, pedophiles use it online, whether it's, on places back then, it would be a lot of pedophiles and sex traffickers used Backpage before President Trump's DOJ took it down. But, when the Podesta emails first came out and they were littered with pizza in the context it does not apply to food, and then there was evidence of that online that pizza is a well-known pedophile code word, all of a sudden that information started getting scrubbed from the internet. And I watched all this happen in real time. So the Podesta emails are littered with pedophile code words, and the main one would be pizza. And fast forward to earlier this year, the Wall Street Journal confirmed what I've been reporting since 2016, which is pizza is a pedophile code word. And pedophiles have used them for a very long time, not just the word pizza, but also the pizza emoji, to try to procure children for sex acts online. And that was all over the Podesta emails. And after digging into that and learning that, and then researching the people that were involved in these emails and what these people were involved in. So for example, there was one woman in the Podesta emails, her name was Tamara Lozado. She sent an email that talked about, sending over three kids to an adult, pool party with John Podesta for entertainment. And I did some digging on her, and she was running a password protected site that had advertised at the top that people would be able to view infants raw and uncut. And then the words on the side of the website were filled with words that are words that you would see on a porn site. And that's just one example of someone that was sending one of these suspicious emails, to John Podesta and or his associates. And so the more I dug, the more I learned that, these people clearly are involved in pedophilia, Then you start looking into John Podesta and Tony's art collection, and they have a whole collection of art that promotes pedophilia and other just horrific things like cannibalism and murder. And I mean, it's just goes on and on. But in terms of specifically that email with Barack Obama, that email said that there was a private party at the White House during Barack Obama's presidency, and they flew in $65,000 worth of pizza and hot dogs for that private party from Chicago. And knowing that pizza and hot dogs is a are pedophile code words. So now knowing that, and also knowing, like, let's just say they literally were talking about pizza and hot dogs. It doesn't make sense that pizza and hot dogs for a private party at the White House would come to the amount of $65,000. And then there was also language used in that email that suggested that they were using clandestine channels to ship these pizza and hot dogs to the White House for this private party. And by the way, it also said that they were doing this on the taxpayer dime. So, you know, you put all these pieces together and it paints a really dark, morbid picture. But the reality is all signs are pointing that these people are involved in child sex trafficking.
Now, I want to pull this up real quick because now you're seeing shifting gears. Most people don't know who John Podesta is. I would argue that most Americans have no idea who this is. I would say most Americans have a pretty firm grasp of who played in the NBA Finals last year. They know what the top pop songs are. They know the new X-Man movie that just came out. Most people have no idea who John Podesta is. So this guy here, John Podesta, listen to what he had to say about Maui, folks. Watch this.
To stop these disasters from getting even worse, we have to cut the carbon pollution that's driving the climate crisis. And that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is all about. As Karine noted, we're marking the one-year anniversary of a truly transformative piece of legislation, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the largest investment in clean energy and climate action ever in the United States, in the history of the world. But first, I want to acknowledge that today's event is coming during a time of heartbreak as the toll of extreme weather fueled by climate change is being felt across the country and the world. This summer has brought one climate disaster after another, from extreme heat in Arizona and Texas and across the Southeast to floods in Vermont and upstate New York to thick smoke from Canadian wildfires. And all of us have watched in horror as the Maui fires have claimed over 100 lives, the largest loss of life of a fire in the last 100 years in America. As FEMA Administrator Criswell just explained, the administration is doing everything we can to support Hawaii's rescue and recovery efforts. To stop these disasters from getting even worse, we have to cut the carbon pollution that's driving the climate crisis, and that's what the Inflation Reduction Act is all about.
Who is John Podesta? I think most people have no idea who this guy is. Can you tell us who is John Podesta? What tell us about the emails again? I have to assume, James, what do you think? Most people have no idea about this stuff.
None. I remember when WikiLeaks broke the story about, you know, Hillary Clinton sacrificing animals to Moloch, and then, you know, the Podesta brothers are in there too. You look at their artwork, yeah. It's all satanic, and it's just all just so sick.
Yeah, so he was Hillary Clinton campaign's chairman when she ran for president. He also worked for Bill Clinton when he was president. And, you know, you're looking at these pictures here that you're showing, you know, the one up here on the top left-hand side, you know, and you can see the art too, but the spirit cooking one, well, there's a cannibalism, you know, to the left of that, that's the spirit cooking. Yeah. So, you know, let's look at that image right there. And so in one of the emails, Tony Podesta exchanged, I believe it was Tony Podesta exchanged an email with Marina Abramović, who's a satanic witch, by the way, under the guise of performance art. You look up her picture and, you know, you just see all kinds of satanic imagery and whatnot, but she holds spirit cooking dinners. And in one of those emails, she was asking Tony if John would be attending the spirit cooking dinner that she'd be holding. Now, at these spirit cooking dinners, and this is according to her, you know, to her book, to her videos, you can see right here, Eat the Pain, with a sharp knife. Here, you can click on one of those, so this is from one of her spirit cooking dinners. With a sharp knife, cut deeply into the middle finger of the left hand and eat the pain. So at these spirit cooking dinners, according to her, they have this ritual where people literally cut themselves so they're bleeding. And they also have some kind of ritual where she mixes like blood with, I believe it's urine, like breast milk and semen. Like it's and then they do some kind of ritual and they throw paint on the wall, and it's absolutely disgusting and completely and totally demonic. But these were the kinds of events that Hillary Clinton's campaign chairman was going to, and his brother, you know. And then furthermore, you know, in terms of the spirit cooking dinner, she also hosts these parties. You can scroll down, you'll see more pictures that tie to this. She hosts these parties in Hollywood where they have these dinners where they quote unquote depict cannibalism. So they will have, you know, a huge piece of cake that is the size of a human body and looks like a human body, and they eat it. And so, you know, it just goes on and on. There you go. See, there's, you look at the table. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, the way I phrased it made it seem kind of innocent. And then you look at the pictures and you see how dark and depraved it is. You know, they have these dinners where they're literally at best depicting cannibalism, you know?
Dick. And this is real stuff, though. I mean, this is real stuff. And you're one of the only people in the world who consistently talks about it. One of the few people in the world that has the guts or the fortitude or the courage of your convictions to share the truth about it. And you've largely been canceled from your career. You've been entirely canceled from your career for doing so. What is your website these days, Liz? What's the best website for you?
LizCrokin.net.
Okay, so somebody goes to LizCrokin.net because they want to know what's going on. What is it that you're most passionate about communicating today? Like, what is it that everybody out there, if you had a megaphone to tell every single person listening, hey, pay attention, listen to this. What is the thing everybody needs to know about all things Epstein right now?
I think the most important thing is that I think people need to understand more about Pizzagate. And especially with the Wall Street Journal article that came out a few months ago, because what the media did is Jeffrey Epstein and Pizzagate, it all ties together, right? And, you know, what the mainstream media did when the Podesta emails came out is they tried to redefine what Pizzagate is. And basically what Pizzagate always was is that the Podesta emails came out and they were littered with pedophile code words. And one of the main code words they were using, which was a pedophile code word, was the pedophile code word pizza. And the Podesta emails exposed that a lot of people within Podesta and Hillary Clinton's circle are involved in child sex trafficking. And yes, that would include Jeffrey Epstein. And that's what Pizzagate was. But when people started reading the Podesta emails and figuring this out, the deep state had to frantically create a psyop to distract people from what Pizzagate really is. And so they switched the narrative and they redefined Pizzagate, or they tried to. And they tried to make Pizzagate all about one pizza shop in one basement. And what they said was, oh, Pizzagate is that these crazy conservatives literally think that Hillary Clinton's sitting in the basement of a pizza shop, sitting down there trafficking kids. And no real Pizzagate truther like myself ever said that. There is a component to Pizzagate about a pizza shop that ties into all this, but that never is what it was all about. And if you read any of the mainstream media articles about Pizzagate, they never talk about the Podesta emails, because they know that those emails are damning and they know that they're super suspicious, including many emails that don't even have pedophile code words in them or have the word pizza in them. So when you read a mainstream media article about Pizzagate, they never mention the Podesta emails, and Pizzagate derived from the Podesta emails. Like, how do you leave that out? That was the psyop. So my most passionate thing is for people to understand what Pizzagate really is. And that simply is that the Podesta emails expose that these elites, you know, the Podesta and Clinton and their associates are using pedophile code words and they're involved in child sex trafficking. That's it. That's what it always was. And, you know, the deep state, the Mockingbird media tried to flip the script, try to switch that narrative to take people away from what the truth of what Pizzagate really is was. And over the years, more and more information has come out, and more people are slowly starting to understand that they are completely lied to about Pizzagate. The Wall Street Journal article helped a lot. And, you know, I've seen a lot of accounts that have never talked, big accounts, by the way, that have never talked about Pizzagate before, saying things like, you know, it turns out that Pizzagate is way more true than Russiagate ever was. And yes, that's true. It always was. So that's what I'm most passionate about. But, you know, in terms of, you know, current day stuff, you know, I encourage people to just stay on top of following these court cases with Jeffrey Epstein. And they can just do that by simply following me on Twitter at Liz Crokin, because I'm covering everything that's unfolding with these cases. And we're learning a lot of information, but unfortunately, the mainstream media isn't really covering it that well.
Now, I want to get into the mainstream media thing for a second here. I have a lot of friends of mine pre-COVID who are members of the mainstream media. And Liz, I'm not attacking you or anybody who's in the media, but this is just my reality at that time. James, I would meet these people that are beautiful people, attractive people, and they're she or he, they're on the news every night. And James, they were really coming after Trump pretty hard, you know, on the mainstream media. Every night the media was attacking Trump. And one person I said, I got to ask you, you're like the top rated show in our area, one of the bigger names, and you smash President Trump every single day. And I said, why do you do that? She says, well, Clay, we've been on each other a long time. It's just what's on the prompter primarily. I mean, I'm just reading, you know, what's on the prompter. And I go, I know this, but at some point, do you ever say actual things that you believe? And she said, no, I follow the teleprompter, and I'm thinking, truly, this cannot be true. So then I go to a friend of mine who's more of an investigative journalist in our market, and she says, she's also used to work with me, and she says, well, Clay, you know, we get our news every day from certain aggregators, and no, but none of the news aggregators that give us the news are indicating that what you're saying is true. And so I'd love to get your thoughts, just Liz, how does the media work? How does that work that you have, you know, reporters who are the faces that everybody knows in their living room every night, or the investigative journalists where it's local news media works for you. How is it possible that they're all reporting the exact same thing? How does that happen?
So what happened is that the media has been consolidated. So if you go back to the 80s, every media organization, so from, you know, like the big newspapers to the cable news networks, which really didn't come around to the 90s, down to your local, you know, news station, you know, like, you know, the local Cedar Rapids, Iowa news station that covers, you know, local news and national news. Back in the 80s, I believe that all media was owned by over 55 companies. Today, it's the entire media. So from the top to the bottom, from, you know, Wall Street to Main Street, is owned by, I believe now it's 5 corporations. And so it's all been consolidated. And so they're basically all controlled by the same people. And so they're all given the same talking points, right? And I know that from my experience, going back to, I started at the Chicago Tribune, I think it was in 2002 or 2003. And I started as a city news reporter working for the Chicago Tribune's wire service. And back then, I felt that I had a really good boss, and he was a really good editor, and he trained me really well. And he was all about accuracy and the facts and the facts. And, you know, like, he was obsessed with getting everything completely accurate. Now, I was just covering local news back then. And so I was covering, you know, like fires and local murders in Chicago and like some city politics. But back then, like, you know, the way that I was trained was just accuracy, accuracy, accuracy. Through the years, I did see a shift working inside mainstream media. And by 2016, I was freelancing for a few different mainstream media outlets. And I started to get in trouble for covering certain stories or exposing too much truth. And I actually was told that I wasn't allowed to cover certain stories that were really big, important stories to cover, such as sex trafficking or the truth about Seth Rich's murder. And that's when I really understood how controlled the media had become.
Now, James, you have a lot of friends and family you've been trying to wake up for a long time. I'll let you ask Liz the final question. And if it turns out to be a terrible question, I'm going to mute your microphone. So what is the question you have for Liz?
Does child sex...